do. For now, coming to the stage, he hosts the One Shot podcast for Peaches and Hot Sauce. He's a great dude who, I don't know if he's going to talk about a game he's working on, but maybe he should plug it. James D'Amato.
Okay, it seems like we're all sitting down tonight. Normally I perform standing up, so
you can do it's different.
Yeah, but I don't want to break the trend, you know. You guys seem real like you would exclude me and bully me. Alright, you can probably discern a lot about my personality based on how I misunderstood the fingers crossed idiom when I was a kid. I don't fully remember the circumstances, but when I was about five, my mother explained to me what vampires were. Now, I could tell this was a crucially important piece of information, despite the fact that she seemed to half remember what she was telling me. So, a vampire is a type of bad guy? Yes. And what do they look like? Well, they wear long black capes. Like Batman. My mother paused for a minute. Actually, yes, a lot like Batman. But they're bad guys. Five-year-olds have to synthesize a lot of information, and the idea of a bad guy being allowed to wear a cape really didn't gel with my understanding of how the garment worked. Well, they also have really pale skin, like the Joker. Vampires really don't have anything to do with Batman, James. They're monsters who bite you and suck your blood. And they can turn into bats, and they can turn you into a vampire if they bite you. Well, I don't want to be a vampire. And sensing my fear, my mother told me, it's okay, they're afraid of crosses. What if I don't have a cross? She said, you can always do this and make a cross with your fingers. But you don't have to worry about that, James, because vampires aren't real. Now, it took me an embarrassingly long time before I learned that when people said fingers crossed, they were looking for luck, not warding off the undead. But the usage is bizarrely supportive of my delusion. For example, traffic now is terrible. Fingers crossed, we should be able to make it home in time. Obviously, traffic is bad enough. The last thing you want is to be waylaid by a vampire attack. I can't find my passport. I haven't looked through the drawers yet, though. Fingers crossed, I'll find it there. Yeah, I can't imagine an atmosphere less conducive to finding things than a life or death struggle with the Nosferatu. I've been interviewing all over. Fingers crossed, one of them will turn into a job. Okay, this one is a little bit harder to justify, but I can't imagine anyone wanting an interview with a vampire. We're still going. I'm not going out on the pun. But sadly, we don't live in a reality where everyone is in near constant vigil against vampires, which is really a shame because my mom was wrong about one thing when she taught me about vampires. They are real. And they are everywhere. See, the problem with vampires is they're seductive. They offer you something that you think you want, and they don't look like monsters. My first encounter with a vampire is when I moved to Chicago. The only job that I could find in the city at the time, because you'll remember, like now, the economy was pretty terrible, was to be a street canvasser for a major gay rights organization that shall remain nameless. Canvassing is just as awful as you imagine it to be. You know how uncomfortable it is to be canvassed. It is just as bad on the other side. On top of that, you're outside in Chicago, which is a hospitable human habitat maybe 2 months out of the year. And due to the hotly contested nature of my chosen cause, I got slurs and hateful asides hurled at me at least once a day. I actually had my life threatened so many times working that job that the significance of an event like that lost all meaning. Now, I could endure it because at first I was representing a cause that I truly believed in. And that kept me warm, you know? But when winter came, it brought in a new canvassing director. And he was the kind of corporate alpha male asshole who you thought you would never run into doing nonprofit work. I actually had a meeting to explain to my boss why there were some days where I was only doubling quota. Horrible man. And I would come home every day physically and emotionally drained, and some days I couldn't bring myself to speak. This obviously put a tremendous amount of strain on my relationships, as well as my fledgling comedy career. And although comedians are supposed to suffer, suffering is only really useful in retrospect. You need to have the experience to write jokes, but you also have to have the energy to tell them. So I couldn't help it. All I could do was come home and sit on the couch and stare until it was time for me to go to bed and have nightmares about how my horrible job was. And one day, my boss pulled me into one of his meetings and asked me why I pulled a team of new canvassers off the street when the temperature dropped below 9. The answer, obviously, is that it is illegal for people to be out there when it is 10 degrees. He said to me this, "You know, these newbie canvassers aren't going to make it, so we have to get what we can out of them while they're around." So I put in my 2 weeks after that. I was working a job where I was literally using people for what they were worth and then throwing them away just to survive. And I didn't quit when I had a new job lined up like I wanted. I quit at a time that meant I had to use my savings just to make rent, and I didn't eat as much because I didn't want to be a fucking vampire. In creative fields, there's no real defined path for success, or even a stable life. You just sort of have to make it up as you go. Like, the general consensus in the improv sketch community is that you work for free until somebody's willing to pay you a pittance, and then you get really excited about that. That is probably one of the worst career ideas imaginable. But you're probably going to end up doing something that you hate, and it's going to take stuff from you every day. Until you get to do what you want to do for the rest of your life, somebody is going to be draining your life force from you. So my advice to people who are in a similar situation like myself is keep your fingers crossed. Thank you.
Thank you, James. That was fantastic. All that I have to add to that is that I don't know that you'd have to look very hard to find that Batman and vampires do have something to do with each other.
I wasn't going to call my mom out.
Fair.
She was totally wrong about that.
Yeah. Come on.